This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We will be streaming live on YouTube shortly, but the computer got disconnected, so we're going to have to figure that out in the next commercial break. So the funny thing about saying that out loud, Anthony, is nobody on YouTube knows that. There's just people staring at their browsers going, isn't that show supposed to go live that I like that starts at 4 o'clock every day? I can't help you.
But you know what? Not until the next break.
Nope, but you know what? We're recording the video, so if we do anything stupid on camera, it'll wind up on the internet later anyway. Good to be with you on this Wednesday. An hour from now, Clinton Yates will make his season debut on Wednesdays. Of course, he's been joining us on Fridays most of the offseason. He's been traveling, and now he's going to join us. And Anthony, we're going to do the bit with Clinton where he asks me questions because he's got questions about the Commanders, because all of a sudden he's got to talk about the Commanders on all of the shows that he does, like Around the Horn. Because they are nationally relevant, and they are nationally relevant because there is a young man named Jaden Daniels who is playing his face off. And not only is he obviously playing extremely well and, like, well for a rookie in any other context you would want it, you can't have an MVP conversation without Jaden Daniels right now through four games. Now, that sounds like a ridiculous statement because he's a rookie and rookies don't win MVPs and whatever, but and there's a long way to go. If I had to bet for or against him finishing top five in MVP voting by the end of the year, I'd probably still vote against it. Definitely if it was top three. Top five, I'd have to think about it. Top 10, he's getting it. Unless things go completely sideways and or something worse happens. Knock on your wood, et cetera, et cetera. But realistically, through four games, good luck naming a bunch of guys that have been more impactful on their teams than Jaden. And that is very, very hard to do as a rookie. And that ability to create that for Washington has come down to excellent coaching as well as a lot of work put in by Daniels himself. I thought Mark Schlereth was great with this yesterday. If you missed that at 6 o'clock, it is worth a listen in the podcast, no matter when you listen to it, and you listen to it over the weekend, it still will be good. But even when they were out in Arizona, and it's, you know, they're on West Coast time, they get out there, their entire facility has basically been moved out there. Cliff is operating out of a temporary office in whatever hotel or whatever they're in. And who pops in at 5:30 in the morning to say, hey, what you watching? You know, let's chat. Anything we want to talk about? Jaden Daniels. Still on the road, operating. It's like business as usual. I get up at 5:30. This is how I work. Time zone, home, away, doesn't matter. This is how we roll. And so it's taken a lot of work by Jaden, but it starts with how Cliff has done a tremendous job of making sure that he has an offense that Jaden can operate. And actually, that was a topic of conversation today at the press conference, both for Jaden Daniels and for Dan Quinn. We'll start with Quinn's thoughts on it and how his offensive coordinator has tailored things for his rookie quarterback.
I think the first part, Nick, was probably like there's an exploring that goes on. And if you go all the way back, there was, you know, reps, you know, what would we feature for Jaden? What would we feature for Marcus? And what routes were he most comfortable with coming in? And so we actually had some that were some of his tips from LSU, and we started from there, and that was 100% from Cliff to say, hey, what are some ones that, you know, coming out of bed, you want this play called and you know it like the back of your hand. And so we started from there, and then as you added and you felt more comfortable, that's why the reps are so important. And so from walkthroughs and training camp reps, and then you kind of tailored on both sides of the ball, what's good enough, what's not, what should we hold and wait for later. Some things that we would still be working on now may not be game ready, but there are still concepts that you continue to work, and then also finding the personnel for some of them is really important too.
One of the things I love about that is Cliff has been known in, you know, in his career, and not just in the NFL, but in college, to fade late in the season. The fact that they're still working on stuff that's in the bag now, like, that would seem to have a shelf life. That seems to say that, hey, there's stuff that maybe we're not ready for it now, but we anticipate needing it, so let's get it ready later on in the season. That inner drive to never stop innovating, to never be satisfied. And maybe you have to practice some patience. Maybe you have to hold tight on some stuff because you don't need it yet. You don't want to use stuff that you don't need. That way, you know, you want to keep as much in the bag as possible in case you need it later, I guess is the better way to say that. But ultimately, the fact that they are finding stuff that he can operate at a high level, because football at the end of the day is a game of execution, especially offensively. You know, defensively, if you can know what's coming, it makes it a lot easier to put guys in position to execute. You still have to make the tackles, play the leverages right, like do all the little things. Your hand, you know, work has to be good as a D lineman. You have to get a good push. But on offense, like, you know the plays. You have the scripted part of it. You're not doing the improv. There's some improv that happens, but you're following the script. How well do you execute the script? And so getting guys who understand exactly what they need to do and where they need to be looking and what decisions need to be made is really important at every position. Tailoring that to a young quarterback with this kind of skill set, that's how you get the offense that you've gotten. To the point that there are times it doesn't matter what the coverage is. Like, there's some quick game stuff they're doing that Jaden is so on top of and is so good with. This is another special trait of his. We talk about the athleticism. We can talk about the touch down the field. His release is so quick. And his ability to get his feet set and get the ball out is so quick that there are times that you got an inside receiver, especially, whether it's a guy who's lined up at number two, if you will, right? The tight end is, you know, one. You got on the outside, or sorry, the tight end is say, number three. The middle guy is number two, so like a slot guy, and then you have your outside guy, number one. And if you have that number two guy, that slot guy, no matter where he is, or maybe number three, that tight end or a second slot receiver, kind of an inside slot, if you got a trips formation out to one side, whatever that version is, where the guys that are closer to the ball, and they run those quick hook patterns, 5 yards, sit, run 5 yards, turn around, look for football. There are times that there are defenders flying to cover those guys, and they can't get there fast enough. And if you were to draw the play against the coverage on paper, that's not open. Hey, it's cover two. There's five underneath defenders. We can't complete little hook routes because everyone's going to be covered up. Not with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, because he can look at that defender and be like, I know where you're going. You can't get there fast enough. Zip. And that is special. So having that, having the RPOs, having the bubble screens, they are running the ball and running screens at a higher percentage than anyone else in the league on first down, but they're mixing those things up, and you defend those things very differently. Right? You need resources outside the numbers and outside the hashes on screenplays. If you're running inside, whether it's a power, you know, gap scheme type of stuff, whether it's duo, whether it's inside zone, any of those inner run plays with Brian Robinson, you need those guys inside. So just that conflict. Yeah, okay, we know it's going to be a run or a screen. Cool. Which one is it? That's an important piece of this equation. Cliff has done a tremendous job of getting that stuff that he's comfortable with called, and then Jaden, obviously, and company executing it at a high level. And Daniels was talking or asked about this as well today, the process of building this offense in ways that he is comfortable. And here's what the rookie quarterback had to say.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff is very open-minded. Anything that he feels is going to work, or he'll try it out, man. And because obviously, you know, he's that, it could be that type of person, like, man, this is my system, this is how we're going to run it, this is how we're going to do things. But nah, he's just back there. He gives us the freedom to go out there and play ball.
The thing I really appreciate about Cliff on that front is he has things he wants to accomplish in a way certain things are going to get done, but he's open to how they accomplish them. And that is the magic of coaching offense in this league. And certain coaches are really good about this, and certain coaches are more stubborn than others in the how, right? Kyle Shanahan's pretty, I would say, pretty stubborn in how. And when you're Brock Purdy, you just listen to what Kyle says, and all of a sudden you're in the MVP conversation too. When you're Matt Ryan in Atlanta you have fights about it in the meeting room, but then you go out and you wind up probably doing most of it Kyle's way, even though I think Kyle and Matt, from the stories that I've heard from that relationship, like there was some give and take. But it was different than the next year when Logan was there, and he tells the stories of being in meetings when Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, would put up a play to install for a given week, and Matt would go, I don't like that. And Sark would go, okay, and he'd take it down and they'd throw it out. Kyle would be like, no, we're going to do it this way. Or maybe like, what don't you like about it? I don't like this. Okay, well then let's adjust and move this guy here. You know, okay, you don't like being in gun for this, or you don't like being under center for this? Let's switch it. But we're going to, the bulk of this we're going to keep because I know it works. And so I think that's the kind of conversation that Cliff has with Jaden. Hey, if I want to attack with Terry over here, what are you comfortable throwing? Where do you want him coming from? And so they can do the things like they did on that third and several, where they drove play in the dirt. Or during the week, they can take, hey, here's the concept that I like. Here's this thing from my offense. And Jaden, do you like this? No, I'd rather it be this. Okay, well, this is trying to accomplish that. So we need to, that needs to stay, but can we get this other thing that you want? Or as Dan talked about in his answer, you know, oh, this is a concept that we took from the air raid with four wide receivers, but we want to run it out of three tight ends. Okay, how do we accomplish that? Are we best doing that from this formation or that formation? Which guys should be in which spots? We need some vertical speed down the field. Okay, well, let's not put John Bates in that spot. Let's put Ben Sinnott, who's a better runner. Like, these are the details that matter in this league. And Cliff has done a really, really excellent job so far of doing that within the context of doing things that Jaden is comfortable with. He teaches it at a really high level to everyone, and that's how you have one of the most efficient offenses in football through 4 weeks, even though you have a rookie quarterback operating it. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We get back more from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels as they addressed the press earlier today. 4:30 are NFL tiers. Can the Commanders make another climb? Are they going to get into puncher's chance this week? Whoa. We'll discuss coming up at 4:30 here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, now at the Team 980. Apologies for being a little late there. We had some tech issues, but we got it all figured out. So we are in all the places that you are used to finding us here on a competition Wednesday. And Anthony, coming up in just over an hour from right now, we will have competition Wednesday.
Are you nervous?
Nervous is not the right word. Maybe it's partially the right word. I know I did not have a good week. I'll put it that way. So, like, some of the nerves are gone because I already looked. I was nervous after the show yesterday, and I was like, I don't think I did very well. And I checked. I did not. So
I won't believe it until I see it.
Well, 5:30. That's when you'll see it.
Say less.
That's when all of you will see it. Competition Wednesday coming up at 5:30. Right now, though, we continue hearing from Jaden Daniels, the Commanders quarterback, at the podium as he is each and every Wednesday, at least when they play on Sunday. And he talked about the continuation of his growth. And then in a couple minutes here, I'd also love to hear what he had to say about playing at home this weekend. This is a big weekend for Washington. I think a chance to have one of the best home crowds they've had in a long, long time with the Cleveland Browns. A great fan base that definitely will travel, but they are beaten down. And I don't know how much they want to root for their team right now, frankly. Like, they're an embarrassment. Watson's a disaster. Like, there's no other reason you root for Deshaun Watson other than the fact that he's wearing your team's jersey, and he sucks right now. So, like, that's not even fun. This defense is banged up. Miles Garrett didn't practice today with an Achilles. I would assume he's going to play on Sunday, but they're banged up. They also are getting some guys back, but I don't think, like, Nick Chubb's going to be at full strength this weekend, for instance. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer reporting that earlier today. So this is a Browns team that's kind of a mess. And with that, there's an opportunity. But the opportunity is double-edged. The opportunity is to take care of business and prove that you're legit against the best defense, even if Garrett weren't to play. But especially if he does, the best defense you've played so far this year by far. And not to mention, the other side of the ball, though, or the other side of the coin is if you were to go out and muck up this game, you're going to have a lot of people that were calling yesterday during Vibe Check Tuesday about this time saying, oh, I still need to see more because my heart's been broken too many times. You're giving those people a reason to think that things actually haven't changed that much. So the opportunity, it's not just an opportunity to rise. It's an opportunity cost if you were to fail this weekend. So how's that home crowdness affect things? We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. But I wanted to quickly play a couple of bites here more on the football side of it and how Jaden has continued to grow this year and what that next step is through his own eyes.
Keep improving, finding little ways to keep growing. I wouldn't say it's a finished product, but it's just a start. And I mean, I don't really look at everything that people talk about. I mean, I see it, but other than that, man, none of that matters. That was last week's stuff. You're only as good as the last game you played, and everybody's gonna look at what can you do the week prior, and the weeks after that.
He went on to say later in that press conference, basically, you guys can say whatever you want. I'm still a rookie, and I think that there are guys that in the league that say that kind of stuff. And I shouldn't just say in the league, in leagues, period, in life, especially in sports. Oh, I'm just a young guy. I'm just a rookie. Like, I'm just trying to learn. The ones that live it are the ones that succeed. The ones that are like, look, I'm confident in my abilities, but like, I realize how much better I could be. One, it doesn't limit their growth because they don't put a ceiling on their own potential, haphazardly. Because they think that they've already made it. Oh, what do I have to get better at? I've already made it. No, Jaden's like, I gotta get better. Like, this is cool, but like, I know there's more room for me to grow. There's things I'm not doing yet that I want to. That's something that coaches can instill, but that really is player driven. That mentality comes from Jaden being an elite competitor and having a fairly elite mindset when it comes to these kinds of things. It also helps you not believe in your own height because you're just, hey, what's the next thing? What's the next task that I have to accomplish? And they're that's how he's operated. And so that idea, that humility is going to endear him to his teammates. And Dan talked about that today, Dan's quote was his teammates would fight for him because they see how hard he works. But it also actually makes him better because it allows him to maximize his own abilities because he's not putting any kind of mental restriction on that. Part of that is then the actual functional execution of the offense. And I think one of the big things that they've been able to do this year is stay on schedule. I started watching Browns tape today, and I started going through their third downs. There are a lot of third and longs. That offense, it just lives in third and 15. They penalties, the whole deal. Luckily, this team has been, I would say luckily, but also skill. Like, it is a discipline. It is an execution. Like, offensive linemen hold when they get beat. They're not getting beat. And part of that is the players themselves. Part of that is the play calling, setting them up to succeed. And then when they do have mistakes, Jaden has done a tremendous job of, oh, there's some pressure. This could be a sack. This would be a sack on 22 of the 32 quarterbacks in the league. And Jaden either turns it into a plus two because he scrambles and dives forward, or straight up a plus 22 because he gets out and has a big gain. And that ability to stay ahead of the of the chains has been huge. So how have they done that through JD's eyes?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be in third and longs and stuff like that behind the chains. So we do our best, man, to stay ahead of the chains. That's what defenses are trying to do, is knock us back behind the chains, get us in longer situations. So from that, it's like, man, how can we maybe not take a first or second down sack, or get the ball out. We call stuff like dirty throwaways, just little stuff to stay ahead of the chains to give ourselves a chance.
And I think I referenced earlier the way that Cliff is calling these games, especially on first down, ton of runs, ton of screens. Those are not going to be big losses. So even if they are in second and 12, which they've been in a couple times this year, or second and 10, you have an incompletion on a quick game or a screen that gets batted down or whatever. Like, okay, now how do we handle it from there? Maybe we run it something else again. But because they've been so good in that stuff, so efficient in that stuff, they're finding themselves then in third. Okay, we got stopped on first down. Let's run it again. And now we're in second and or third and five. We can manage third and five. Jaden has done a tremendous job in those situations of making sure that even when they don't have success on first and second down, that they're not negative plays, and thus they've stayed out of that third and long. Last but not least, as promised, the idea of what a home crowd would mean this weekend. He is a guy that seems to thrive on pressure, thrive on the spotlight. We saw what he did Monday night. You know, all of a sudden, a little hype rising up. What does he do? Bang, goes out against Arizona, has a terrific performance, go back to college. Oh, all eyes are on Jaden Daniels, gets knocked out of the Alabama game, has the game of his life against Florida when he comes back the next week. Like, in some of the biggest moments, his junior year against Alabama, maybe his biggest win while he was at LSU, and plays masterfully in that game against a nasty Alabama defense. So he, in night games, in primetime games, when the pressure is the highest, he has continuously answered the bell. So, Northwest Stadium this weekend, if it is a good home crowd, what does that do for the Commanders' young quarterback?
Hopefully sold out. And I was kind of spoiled, you know, within the college scene of, you know, LSU and you know, the SEC and stuff like that. So, I mean, just going back to that, man, just the home field advantage. Being loud, being on the field when the defense is on the field, just giving us that energy as you walk in the stadium, you feel that energy, you feel everybody's there, and you want to put on a show. So hopefully it's sold out and we're able to go out there and perform in front of the fans.
You can be humble and also be a showman. And Jaden, I think, strikes that balance really, really well. And hopefully he'll put on a show Sunday against the Browns in Landover. When we get back, Anthony and I put on a show. That show is the NFL Tears Show. All right, it's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Apologies if that commercial break felt long because I almost just died. There was about 30 seconds left of the commercial break, and I've been eating my lunch that Anthony bought for me because he lost competition Wednesday, and today was the day that he was going to pay up and buy lunch. And I had some food go down the wrong pipe, Ant.
Were you eating too fast? Were you chowing down too like, what was going on over there?
I don't know. I mean, I will say that I felt like I almost choked earlier. Part of it is, I would just say what we got. We got some Chipotle, and I tried the new smoky brisket. Those commercials have worked on me. I've been wanting to try it, and so when you handed your phone to me to order in their app, I was like, ooh, I want to try that smoky brisket. So part of it is like the smokiness, I think, has just been ruminating and playing with me a little bit. But like, dude, I don't know whether it was a rice or corn kernel, something got caught. And I coughed so hard, I think I might have pulled a rib. That did not feel good. I think I actually dodged a bullet. But I had a moment where I'm like, that really hurt in my ribs and I'm going to deal with that later. But I also had no water in my water bottle. So that's why I was like, actively choking, I mean coughing, so it wasn't like I was about to die, but it felt like it. And so I tapped on the glass to Anthony's studio and pointed to my watch like, I need more time with 30 seconds left in the commercial break. And then I went and filled up my water, and then as I was over there, I the rooster was just departing the building. He had gone taken a pit stop on the way out. He hasn't been there since the end of his show, just in case people were wondering. He was putzing around the building, and then I saw his bag, and then I was like, Chris, I almost just died. And he's like, that sounds bad. And I was like, yeah. He's like, were you on the air? I was like, no, thank God. But there was 30 seconds left in the commercial break, and piece of corn almost from the corn sauce almost took me out.
I was a corn. I thought it was going to be like a black bean or.
I think it was the corn. Okay. At some point I coughed and it felt like a piece of corn lodged loose which is disgusting to say out loud, but that's what happened since you asked.
I mean, I think that's what happens when you clean your bowl. I'm looking over here, and it looks spotless.
No, there's still some. I mean, that's the thing that's disappointing is I still have food. I'm eating lunch at 15 or 2 minutes at a time at 4:15 during these commercial breaks because we didn't get lunch till 3:50.
Yeah, I ordered to the wrong place. I did get a full refund, though, so I was very happy about that.
Oh, so you had to reorder it?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for getting my order right.
No problem.
Second time around?
Yeah.
Good work out of you. If you had picked games that well, maybe you wouldn't owe me lunch in the first place.
What'd you say?
I shouldn't say anything considering what's about to happen.
Yeah, I can't wait for an hour because guess what, Craig? It's double. So you get to spin the wheel twice.
Did I say that?
Yes, yes.
We said it's double this week?
Yes, 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 yes.
I want the tape on that one.
I got you.
Anthony's like, just sign me up. All right. Let's get back to the show. It's time for our NFL tiers. Anthony.
I'm saying it, Craig.
What are you saying?
The Commanders are a prime contender. What's up, baby? I'm joking.
I'm saying it.
Oh!
No.
Oh, I was about to say, good gracious. No. All these media pundits, they out here saying we are contenders. Top five in the NFL.
There's just no way I can, after 4 weeks... When a rookie quarterback has never won a Super Bowl on a team that we don't think is that talented,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that they're playing really well and they're clearly well coached and all of that, I cannot in good faith put you in prime contenders. Puncher's chance? Well, we'll get there. But let's go in order and get to our prime contenders. Last week, we had a couple of teams that we kind of were waiting to see on. And so we got some decisions to make here. Prime contenders, starting with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have not particularly played great. They lost Rashee Rice, but they're 4-0. What do? You keep them.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ravens, they beat the ever-loving crap out of the Bills. They get to stay, even though they're 2-2.
Yep.
And we kind of said, if the Bills beat the Ravens, we're going to have to drop them.
Get the stepping, man.
But they didn't. The Lions, they did a nice job against the Seahawks. They gave up a ton of yards, but like they create turnovers. They don't let you score in the red zone very efficiently. Like I'm not that concerned about their defense. Also, I think the Seahawks are good. The game was in Detroit. Like Detroit Lions, they stay in prime contenders. The Bills, I know they got their asses handed to them, but how good they were the first 3 weeks. And they got their asses handed to them by another prime contender. They were due for a stinker. They had their stinker. I'm much more interested in what they do the next 2 weeks. Like, obviously, they could have solidified themselves. But, mm-hmm. I'm not going to overreact to that loss. I think the Bills are still really good.
I think we leave them here.
Okay.
I feel like if we make that case, then we have to make the same case for the team after them.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Literally the same storyline.
But here's the difference. One has... The guy who going into this past weekend was the undisputed MVP of the league, and the other has Geno Smith as their quarterback. And, like, Geno's good, but he's not Josh Allen.
Yeah, but they lost to a prime contender, and it was a very good game.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good game. The Seahawks, oh, man. The fourth downs, getting behind on the chains, they hurt themselves, to be honest. I will leave them here, though.
Okay, I'm willing to leave them here for another week. Who do the Seahawks have this week, especially? Let's check that out. Seattle Seahawks schedule over the weekend. They have the Giants on Sunday. So if they go out and beat the crap out of the Giants, they can definitely stay next week. And then they have a Thursday night tilt with the San Francisco 49ers. So that'll be fun. But Seahawks, they can stay for now. Vikings... I think they obviously stay. They were great. I think the question is their opponent. Like, we put the Packers up here, and we kind of put those stars by them and said, hey, let's see what happens when Jordan Love gets back. And we kind of insulated them from dropping down. And they, by the way, played well enough with Malik Willis at quarterback to show us some things. I am probably more concerned about their defense with some of the stuff that happened, although Minnesota's great. But I kind of, like, the second half also counts.
I was about to say.
They came back. They showed their mettle. Love is only going to get better as he gets healthier. Like,
He's not going to throw three interceptions.
I would tell you this, and especially the ones he threw. Like, there's one that's kind of a lucky play. There's one that's just a ridiculous play by the Vikings defender, and the Vikings have a knack for doing that stuff. Other teams do not. If the Packers and Seahawks played on a neutral field on Sunday, who would you pick?
Ooh, neutral field.
Actually, let me say this. If they play in 3 weeks, presuming that Love is – that way we give Love extra time to get healthy and there's no new big injuries.
Is Jair right? coming back as well? Because he missed this game.
That's also true. He is coming back, right?
Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, and not that we always just want to say, oh, injuries don't matter in these rankings, but I kind of think for them, they've already shown that they can go toe-to-toe while wounded.
Yeah.
And they're only getting healthier at this point. So, I mean, obviously that could change. They could get four more injuries this weekend, and then we'd have to be like, well, they're just not the same team. But I think we keep them.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think Jordan Love is going to play as poorly as he did. To be honest, I don't think he should have played. I think they should have allowed Malik Willis to play that game and then give him more of a tune-up game, because I think this week they have an easier matchup.
All right, so the Packers are staying.
Yeah.
There is one team that I want to move back up.
Ooh.
That I want to move back up. If there's any other teams that you want to talk about, we can't. I would like to move the Niners back up, because I still think that when they get healthy, they are really good. I know they did was beat the crap out of the Patriots, but they shellacked them. They beat another team that defensively is going to have some really nice games this year. They beat them by 17, and they scored 30, and they still don't have McCaffrey. And again, we're not doing, hey, your injuries don't count. It's immune. It's how do you play without those players and how well Mason has played. Like, the Rams game was a funky anomaly, and they should have won that game. They've had some other performances that are not as good, but I think that, you know, they typically start a little slower. Kyle makes the tweaks. They figure it out. I think the San Francisco 49ers are as dangerous as they've ever been, and I think they belong in prime contenders.
I think offensively, they definitely are, even without McCaffrey. Defensively, I still got my questions, still got my concerns.
That's fair.
Even though Fred Warner did have an insane pick six, but again, it's the Patriots that they're doing this against. So I want to see what they do moving forward. I want to see if the defense can get back to like what they used to be. This was one of the most feared defenses for years. And
but remember, they got a new D coordinator who's theoretically should get better as the year goes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Not always how that works, but I think that they can trend the right direction.
Okay.
So you're not opposed?
No, Niners, I'm not opposed.
Niners up. Okay. Anybody else that you think should be considered?
No.
Okay. No. So we will review if there's anybody that needs to go down, and is there anybody in the interesting but not quite good enough tier, Washington Commanders, who might need to come up into puncher's chance? We will discuss next. It's our tier rankings, NFL tiers, on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, where we are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up in 12 minutes, Clinton Yates talking Commanders with us here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Right now, though, we continue with our NFL tier rankings, and we have anointed the prime contenders as the Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Bills, Seahawks, Vikings, Packers, and 49ers. Currently living in puncher's chance, the Philadelphia Eagles. Do we do anything with the Philadelphia Eagles, Anthony?
Man, it's getting hard, you know, trying to defend these guys. I say we give them one more week.
I say I'm willing to leave them here until they are back, and like their guys are back, as in AJ and Devontae, or at least one of them, and they're still this bad.
They have a bye, right? This week, though?
Oh, do they have a bye?
I think they have a bye this week.
So I think that's right, because I had to find a tight end replacement in fantasy for Dallas Goedert.
When they come back.
Also, the Lions have a bye, so I was down. I'm down Goedert and LaPorta.
Dang.
Yeah.
I thought LaPorta was hurt.
He was, but I think he's back. But now, I don't know. Either way, he's not available to me.
Yeah.
So, Cade Otton, welcome to the team.
Yeah, they're on a bye. So, again.
Yeah, so Eagles, congrats. You get to stay because you're not playing, which right now is good for you. So, we'll see what happens after the bye. Cowboys, what do we think about them?
These guys stink! the Cowboys, I think we leave them here. They're 2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we leave them here. Again, they just have so much talent on that team. For them not to be in this, you know, in this category, this puncher's chance category.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a chance we have to move them out after the next couple of weeks. Like,
yeah.
Their next three games, at Pittsburgh on Sunday night, versus Detroit, Detroit coming off the bye,
good
and
Lord.
Then at San Francisco.
Yeah. I don't feel bad for Dallas, so.
No, I don't either. but enjoy your house while we while it's there in this neighborhood. Houston Texans. I guess they're still in puncher's chance. They won. It wasn't impressive, but they won.
Yeah.
Bucks showed why exactly this is called the puncher's chance tier. When the Bucks are good, Jesus, they are good. When the Bucks are bad, you're like that. You belong in the basement.
Yeah, and also it's just the fact that I think they're being well coached. Like they got so many injuries, so the Eagles really don't have excuses because the Bucks are finding ways to get it done.
Yeah, Steelers. They lost to the Colts, but like,
yeah, I'm leaving them there.
Their defense is still nasty. Yeah. The Jets.
That was a horrible loss. Horrible loss to the Broncos.
I'm out on the Jets for right now. At the very least, for right now.
Yeah, they need to.
Goodbye. Back down you go.
Yeah.
No. With a side of no. They trade for Devontae Adams, and then that works. Like, we'll talk, but right now, no. And then you got the two teams that played each other. You got the Falcons and you got the Saints.
Man, that was a thriller. I'm leaving both of them there.
I kind of think so. I'm curious to see if the Saints can turn it back around. And the Falcons, like, they're finding ways while they're still not good offensively. So what happens if the offense starts to click?
Yep.
And defensively, like, again, they're doing enough.
Yes,
they are. Teams that are a consideration for coming up. Interesting, but not quite good enough tier. The Bears.
No.
Yeah. Congrats. You beat the Rams, who really kind of pooted the game away. Speaking of the Rams, I think they stay put.
Yep.
The Chargers are a team that if they can get healthy, I wonder if we have them up by later in the season.
Yeah, I think in 2 weeks.
I think it's hard to put them up now. They scored 10 points against the Chiefs and lost 17-10. But defensively, like, okay, you held the Chiefs to 17. And offensively, you're a mess right now trying to figure it out, but at least you know who you are. The problem is, like, you're a team that wants to run the football and be big and physical, and you were down your top two tackles.
Yeah.
So if they can get healthy, offensive line and quarterback, because Herbert's still, you know, hindered, I think that's good.
Yep.
All right. But they belong where they are for now. The Patriots.
They can stay. I'm literally moving
them down on the list.
Okay.
I'm putting them down to remind us when we copy and paste this list as a starting point next week that if they get their doors blown off again, you're going down into no chance. The Colts. Your Colts.
They can stay.
I think they stay.
Yeah, I need to see them go and beat the Jags. Yeah, that's what I need. And I need AR to stay on the field.
That would be nice. Or Joe Flacco to just be last year's Joe Flacco again.
Man.
Cincinnati, they have won
one game.
Finally.
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers. You don't get to move up for beating the Panthers,
no.
But I think their offense has looked like their offense, which is a good sign for them moving forward.
Yes.
The Raiders, they're fine where they are. Yeah. I'm not – the Broncos.
Yeah, we're not talking about them.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about them. The Titans, congrats. You're off the schneid. You can stay. You were on the verge of going down in the boo-boo tier, but you get to stay. The Browns.
The Browns are two blowouts away from being no chance in heck.
I think that's correct, despite the fact that they have a top-10 defense.
Yep.
We'll come back to the team that's listed next for obvious reasons. Obvious only to me and Anthony because we're the only ones that can see this document, but for obvious reasons. The Giants.
They can stay here.
They can stay for right now.
Yeah.
Man, if Malik Nabers is out for any extended period of time, they're gonna stink.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, they're interesting, all right. Because they beat the Rams by a similar score to Washington beat them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then they got beat 42-14. The Dolphins.
They need Tua to come back.
They sure do. The Dolphins are very close to getting moved down.
I mean, they're in no chance in heck until Tua comes back.
You wanna know what? I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm actually legitimately Miami Dolphins. You are being moved down, and we'll see if anyone's gonna join you. We have one more team to discuss, the Carolina Panthers. Do they get to stay up because Andy Dalton's at least making them interesting?
Yeah, I think we keep them there.
I think so.
They're fighting back.
The Jags lost again. You can't lose and get out of no chance. So congrats to the state of Florida for having two of your three teams in no chance in heck, the Jags and the Dolphins. Which leaves one final team, Anthony, the Washington Commanders.
Woo! I think we got to move them up, man.
I do believe that as of today, the Washington Commanders have graduated out of the interesting but not good enough tier into the puncher's chance tier. Now, is it a gigantic haymaker that would need to land? Yeah, you got a rookie quarterback who's playing out of his mind that needs to basically continue playing out of his mind, and you have a defense that played better the last 2 weeks. The results really showed it last week. They need to continue to improve. That is hard to do in a season, especially when you don't have a ton of talent. But if you're telling me all this team needs to do to make the playoffs with the way this offense is playing is maintain 85% to 90% of their production on offense and improve from they've already gone from like the 28th to the 22nd to the 18th best defense, not even top half, and they can compete, I don't think that's unreasonable. I think they belong. And their offense is a nightmare to defend because they do everything well. So I think the Washington Commanders belong in our second highest category, 2 of 4, in puncher's chance.
Who would have thought, Craig, 4 weeks into the season, the Washington Commanders would have a puncher's chance? Oh, my gosh. I'm lying.
Not I.
Not me either.
And I wouldn't have been mad about it. That's the thing. Like, hey, just be interesting. And that's good. That's good enough for me. Yeah. Maybe not good enough that we think that you're a legitimate contender to win a playoff game. But like, that's when we define these things initially. Like, it's would you be surprised if they were in the Super Bowl? If the answer is no, then they go in prime contender. Would you be surprised if they won a playoff game? If the answer is no, but they're not really a Super Bowl contender, then they go in puncher's chance. And I think that's where the Commanders are right now. If they win the NFC East and then beat a wild card team and then lost to the Packers, the Vikings, obviously the Lions, the 49ers. Like, I think that's feasible. It's, again, is it the most likely outcome? No. But is it feasible? Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, Craig. You saying all of this, it has got me very, very, very optimistic. And I need to tread lightly.
It's just, hey, it wouldn't surprise me as of how they played right now. Things can change.
Yes.
This league changes very quickly. Ask the Bills.
Man.
Bills were the best team in football until they went into Baltimore and got absolutely dump trucked.
Yep.
It's a week-to-week league. But
Peaks, valleys.
But, so far, pretty good. Clint Yates joins us next. He's got questions for me about the Commanders. He's talking about them on Around the Horn. So we'll see what Yates has for me next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.